Alhamdulillah, we have now reached the main part of today's program, and the sole and main reason why we have all gathered here today. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lengthens this affectionate shadow of our respected Shaykh of Allah ta'ala on this entire ummah for many years to come, and this beacon of light and guidance that we have in the form of our respected Shaykh of Allah ta'ala, may Allah ta'ala lengthen this light, and may it be a means to continue to guide and inspire this entire ummah for many, many years to come as well. So, I request the mothers and sisters that they listen very attentively to the precious words our respected Shaykh Habibullah ta'ala will share with us today. Note these points down in our notebooks, in our minds and hearts, and listen attentively.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته الله سبحانه وتعالى has created the jinns and the humans for his worship, for his ibadah. And the definition of ibadah, definition of worship, is to do those things which please him and refrain from those things which displease him. Violating fara'id displeases Allah. So we abstain from violating fara'id. Violating the wajibat displeases Allah, so we abstain from violating wajibat. Violating sunan mu'akkada, the emphasized sunan, displeases Allah, so we abstain from violating sunan mu'akkada. Indulging in haram displeases Allah, so we abstain from indulging in haram. Indulging in makruhat tahrimiyah, displeases Allah. So we abstain from indulging in makruhati tahrimiya. This is ibadah. Carrying out fara'id is ibadah. Carrying out wajibat is ibadah. Carrying out sunan mu'akkada is ibadah. Abstaining from haram is ibadah. Abstaining from makruhati tahrimiya is ibadah. Similarly, carrying out sunan ghair mu'akkada, carrying out other sunan, sunnah actions, carrying out mustahabbat, desirable acts, carrying out nawafil, optional deeds, and abstaining from makruhati tanzihiyya brings the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we carry out sunan ghair muakkada, we carry out other sunan, we carry out mustahabbat, we carry out nawafil, and we abstain from makruhati tanzihiyya. This is also ibadah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the jinn and the ins, the jinns and the humans. Allah has created all of us, the brothers, the sisters, for His worship. This is the only purpose of life. Earning wealth is not the purpose of life. Eating, drinking is not the purpose of life. These are the needs of life. Sleeping is not the purpose of life. The purpose of life is worship only. And in order to become successful in acquiring the purpose, there are certain needs that we have to fulfill. But we have to differentiate between needs and purpose. The purpose is to reach Pakistan. The purpose is to reach Bangladesh. The purpose is to reach Makkah Mukarrama. The purpose is to reach Madina Munawwara. The purpose is to reach USA. The purpose is to reach Canada. That is the purpose. And going to the travel agent, that is a need, not the purpose. Buying a air ticket is a need. Finding transport to the airport is a need. Reaching the airport is a need. Taking a flight is a need, not purpose. Earning, eating, drinking, looking after family, looking after children, having family, having children, having friends, leisure activities, remaining within the limits of Sharia, these are needs. And Islam, knowing that these are the needs to fulfill the purpose of life, has given permission for all these things, all these needs. But they should not become the purpose of life. The purpose of life is only one, ibadah, worship, devotion to Allah. On every step, making sure that we carry out the do's of Allah and we abstain from the don'ts of Allah. On every step we take, on every breath that we take, every second that passes, we make sure that Allah is pleased with us and Allah is never displeased with us. And making sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us and not displeased is known as taqwa. Taqwa. Taqwa is to create a barrier between ourselves and our Creator. Taqwa is a barrier which we create between ourselves and the displeasure of our Creator. So another term for ibadah is taqwa. Ibadah is to carry out the do's and abstain from the don'ts. And taqwa is to carry out the do's and abstain from the don'ts. So we live a life of taqwa, we live a life of piety. On every step we make sure that Allah is not displeased. And if Allah becomes displeased, taqwa remains no more in our lives. Full taqwa does not remain. The taqwa is dented. Taqwa is stained. Because of this disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our heart has become filthy. When a person creates a barrier between himself and the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the heart becomes clean. The heart becomes clean. Luminous heart, always shining. Not a spot of dirt on the heart. As soon as a person commits a sin, a stain comes onto the heart. A spot of dirt comes into the heart. So we are not fully muttaqi now. Our taqwa is not complete, not full, as a result of this sin, as a result of this disobedience, as a result of making Allah unhappy. And taqwa is necessary. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for this taqwa, for this ibadah. So as soon as we stain our heart with a sin, we must immediately repent. This repentance, this tawbah is also a great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We try to remain clean, but if we become dirty, we use the soap. So soap is a great nemat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine for a moment, no soap, no liquid, no fairy liquid. No soap. Imagine for a moment what our lives would have become. Oily hands, how would we have cleaned our oily hands? Dirty hands, filthy, how would we have cleaned our hands? So soap, fairy liquid, ne'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That cleaning ourselves, cleaning the utensils, cleaning the clothes become very easy. And then so many other polishes to clean the metal, to clean the wood. All these are nemats from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So similarly, tawbah cleans the heart. So tawbah is a great nemat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We try our utmost to keep ourselves clean. Our body is clean, our hands clean, our face is clean, our clothes clean. As soon as dirt or filth stains our clothes or our bodies, what do we do? Do we wait for the next minute? Do we wait for the next hour? No, we immediately use water and soap. We use water and soap and we clean. We clean our bodies, we clean our clothes. So similarly, we try our utmost. This is the characteristic of a believer, that he abhors sinful activities. Because he knows that as a result of sinful activities, my Creator will become unhappy and my heart will become dirty and filthy. And how can I make my heart filthy and dirty? Because heart is the center of Iman. Heart is the center of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Heart is the center of love for His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Heart is the center of all the good qualities. Heart is the center of Quran for the huffaz. How can I dirty my heart? How can I make my heart filthy? So he abhors sinful activities. He hates sinful activities. And he tries his utmost to abstain from it. This is the true taqwa. This is the true taqwa. Those people who do not abhor sinful activities, but try to abstain from sin. This is like the provisional license. They are trying, but they don't have the true taqwa. They are copying taqwa. They are behaving as if they have taqwa. Because a person who has the nur of taqwa in his heart, he abhors every disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he stays far away from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this person who does not have the nur of taqwa in his heart, he does not abhor sinful activities, or he dislikes, but not so much. But he exerts mujahada, and despite wanting to commit that sin, he remains far away from that sin. So he is behaving like the person who has taqwa. And when a person behaves over and over again like the person who has taqwa, Allah will grant him the reality of taqwa, the nur of taqwa. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, in tattaqullaha yaj'al lakum furqana. In tattaqullaha, oh you who believe, if you behave to have taqwa, if you behave like the person with true taqwa, yaj'al lakum furqana, Allah will grant you the nur of taqwa, the furqan. You will have the ability to differentiate between what is wrong, what is right. You will have the ability to differentiate between haq and truth, haq and batil, evil and truth. And you will be able to abstain from it also. Abstain from evil, abstain from sinful activities. So this is the characteristic of a believer, that he abhors sin. He abstains from sin. From every disobedience to Allah, he does not differentiate between a major sin and a minor sin. For him, every sin is a sin. He will look at a major sin as a disobedience to Allah, he will look at a minor sin as a disobedience to Allah. The mu'mina, she will look at a major sin as a disobedience to Allah, and a minor sin as a disobedience to Allah. Major, minor. I don't look at that. I look at disobedience to Allah. خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا ذَاكَ التُّقَى لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً إِنَّ الْجِبَادَ مِنَ الْحَسَى. خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ. خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ. Leave sins. صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا. Minor and major. All sins. Leave all sins. ذَاكَ التُّقَى. That is taqwa. Abstaining from every sinful activity, be it minor or major, that is taqwa in its true sense. La tahkiranna saghiratan. Do not undermine the minor sins. Do not look down upon minor sins. It is only a minor sin. It is only a minor sin. A mountain is made up of stones and pebbles. So these small sins will create an ability in the heart to commit a major sin. Minor sins create an ability in the heart to commit a major sin. And major sins will create the ability in a person's heart to commit kufr, to commit infidelity. Minor sins takes a person towards major sins, and major sins takes a person towards kufr. And the person who holds fast to adab, optional deeds will secure the mustahabbat, and the mustahabbat will secure the sunan, and the sunan will secure the wajibat, and the wajibat will secure the fara'id. So we have to make sure that when it comes to sinful activities, we abstain from even the most insignificant sins. And when it comes to carrying out good deeds, we carry out even the most insignificant good deed. Because one sin leads to another, that leads to another, that leads to another, and one good deed leads to another, that to another, and that to another. Bishr-e-Hafi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, a great saint of the Ummah, Bishri Hafi rahimahullahu ta'ala. Even the likes of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala used to praise him for his wara' and for his taqwa. Bishri Hafi rahimahullahu ta'ala, very pious personality. Very pious personality. In the initial stages, he was not so pious. One sin led to another, that sin led to another, that sin led to another. Not a very good person in the initial stages. One day, he left his home and he found a small paper with some inscription lying on his path. So he picked that paper up, assuming that it may have a Quranic ayah, it may have a hadith. This is the characteristic of a believer. Even the believer of a very low degree, that when he sees something on the floor which has Arabic inscription, then his heart will compel him to pick it up. This thought that enters our hearts and minds, my friends, that do this good, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when even the most sinful of the people is inspired with a good thought, a thought to do something good, however insignificant it may be, my brothers, my sisters, at that moment believe with full conviction that your Rabb and your Allah loves you. Because Allah, by inspiring you to do this insignificant amal, desires to pave your path towards Jannah. Allah knows that my servant is very sinful and he or she will find it very difficult to do something very big. So let us begin with something small, and one good deed will pave the path towards another, and that will pave the path towards the third, and slowly, 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 he or she will become the wali or waliya. Good thoughts are guests. When you entertain a guest, the guest will return. And if you do not entertain a guest, the guest will not return. So my sisters, my brothers, whenever you get a good thought, entertain it. And whenever you get a bad thought, don't entertain it, so it doesn't come back again. And the difference between a good thought and a bad thought is, a good thought is noble. And bad thought is not noble. And a noble person is very sensitive. And somebody who is not noble is very, very stubborn. So good thought, if you ignore it once, twice, thrice, it will stop coming. Good thought may stop coming even if you ignore it once only. But most is second or third time, if you ignore it, that good thought will not come again. And bad thought is not noble, so it is stubborn. It does not have any honor. So it will come over and over again. You will have to ignore bad thought 25, 30 times before it stops coming. Always entertain the good thought and always ignore the evil and bad thought. When you get a good thought, turn to Allah immediately. When you get an evil thought, again turn to Allah and seek His refuge from that evil thought. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ. I seek refuge in the Rabb of the people, in the King of the people, Sovereign of the people. I seek refuge in the Ma'bud of the people, in the Ilah of the people, the Allah of the people. From whom? Min sharri al-waswas. From the evil of the one who persistently whispers. Shaitan, who persistently whispers. I seek refuge, O Allah. Bishri Hafi rahimahullahu ta'ala, the good thought entered his heart and mind that this small paper that is lying on the ground may be a Quranic verse, it may be a hadith, it may be only Bismillah, it may have only the name of Allah, Allah. It may have the name of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can it lie here in this respect? I am a mu'min, I am a believer. I should revere it. I should remove it from this respect. A good thought entered his heart, and he entertained the good thought, and he carried out this good deed. One good deed leads to another. He picked the paper up and he saw that the inscription was the name of Allah. Allah or Bismillah or Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He wiped the dust of the paper, a second good deed, out of respect. He kissed it. He kissed the paper, a third good deed. Very small deeds. One deed is leading to another. One deed is leading to another. And out of respect, he held the paper to his forehead. And then he went to a shop and according to his financial ability, bought a very nice cloth. And he went to the perfume shop and he bought a very nice perfume. And he perfumed the cloth, he put that paper in that cloth, he wrapped it up and he put it very high in his house. Now, Bishra Hafi Rahimahullah Ta'ala did all these things, one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. And when he left his home, he was entertaining evil thoughts. He was going to disobey Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala planted this good thought, he entertained it, so it led to another good thought, it led to another good thought, it led to another good thought. And without realizing what he was doing, he carried out all these good thoughts, very insignificant amal, according to him as well, according to you and me as well. But only Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala knows which amal carries how much weight. It is for this reason, my friends, we should not look down upon any good deed and we should not look down upon any individual. I perform 5 times salat regularly, he doesn't. I go for Umrah every year, he doesn't. I have performed Hajj, he hasn't. I recite the Quran and complete the Quran in 7 days, she doesn't. I spend so much in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, she doesn't. So much wazaif, she doesn't. It's possible that whatever we are doing may not be as weighty as what she or he may do within the remaining life. Maybe a very small deed that this person is carrying out now, which will be more weightier on the day of Qiyamah. Now the money he had was spent, so the evil intentions could not be accomplished. So he went to sleep at night after carrying out this deed. And he sees an angel in his dream. He sees an angel in his dream. Bishr Hafi Rahimahullah Ta'ala. He says, Ya Bishru. He brings a message from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He says, Ya Bishru, O Bishr, Tayyabta Ismi. You have shown respect to my name. This is the message from Allah. O Bishr, you have shown respect to my name. Tayyabta Ismi. You have shown respect to my name. لَأُطَيِّبَنَّكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ I will grant you honor, not only in this world, but hereafter also. As a result of your respect for my name, I will grant you respect in this world and the hereafter. And when he woke up in the morning, as a result of those a few good deeds, he had reached the peak of wilayat. He has reached the peak of wilayat. So my friends, our aim should be to do everything that pleases Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and abstain from everything that displeases Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We should not look down upon any good deed, assuming it to be insignificant, and we should not look down upon any evil deed, assuming it to be insignificant. Hakimul Ummah, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahimahullah Ta'ala has narrated an incident regarding a person who assumed an evil deed to be insignificant. Bishr Hafi Rahimahullah Ta'ala assumed a good deed to be insignificant, but he carried it out. This person assumed an evil deed to be insignificant and he carried that out. Insignificant, it's not a big sin. He was the Muazzin of a masjid. Muazzin of a masjid. He climbed up onto the minaret to call out the azan. And a Muazzin of a masjid is all the time connected to the masjid. Fajr, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, he's cleaning the masjid, looking after the masjid, opening the masjid, closing the masjid, calling 5 times azan, giving the iqama, and every salat with takbir ula. His gaze fell on a young girl, young lady, next door to the masjid, because he was up on the minaret. So he could see everything on the right and on the left in front of him. So his gaze fell on this young lady who was very beautiful. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when your gaze falls on a lady, or in the case of a lady, when your gaze falls on a handsome man and your nafs begins to play with you, then this first gaze, sudden gaze is forgiven. So as soon as your gaze falls and you realize it's a lady and I should not be looking at her, immediately you turn your gaze away. So those a few seconds are forgiven because you did not know. But your gaze falls suddenly and you continue looking after. This is a sin. Or you turn your gaze away and then you look at the lady. Or look at a handsome man. Or the first gaze has not fallen yet, but you know that it's a handsome man. You know that a handsome man is coming towards you. Or a man is coming towards you. He could be handsome and he could become a fitna for you. And despite knowing this, you still raise your eyebrows and you look at the handsome man. This is sin. This is sin. So when we are walking in the streets, my brothers and my sisters, we should not look to the right, we should not look to the left, we should not look in front of us, we should look down. Lower our gazes. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded both the men and the women to do the same. كُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men that they should lower their gazes. كُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. Tell the believing women that they should lower their gazes. The men consider this to be a sin, alhamdulillah. Many men don't, but those associated to deen, associated to deeni activities, associated to ulama, mashayikh, deeni movements, they regard this as a sin, alhamdulillah. That is also a great ni'mat of Allah, that a person regards a sin as a sin. But many women don't. Women are under the impression that this command is only for the men, not for the women. For women also, if there is fear for a woman to become a victim of fitna, she has to lower the gaze. And how will she know whether she will become the victim of fitna or not? And in this day and age, where there is fitna surrounding us from all four sides, it is best to follow this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, say to the believing men, يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, that they should lower their gazes. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, and tell the believing women, يَغْدُدْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ, that they should lower their gazes. Lower your gazes. Lower your gazes. Shaitan has misled all of us. All of us, the irreligious people, religious people. When we are walking, we look here and there whilst walking. So it becomes a test for us. When our gaze falls on something which is attractive, it's very difficult to turn away. This is not the precautious method. Precautious method is that if we want to leave our home, go to the academy, from home till academy, we don't want to know what's on our left side and what's on our left side. We are not shopping. So look down. Gaze below and keep walking. And if somebody meets you and says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, then you know that it's a gentleman, it's a friend of yours, or a Muslim brother. So now look up to him, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are going to buy something in a particular shop, you are going to the opticians, you are going to the doctors, lower your gaze until you reach the surgery. until you reach the shop, until you reach the office. This is the safety, that you keep your gazes low. You keep your gazes low, and unless you need to look here and there. So, maybe he was looking here and there, or it was a sudden gaze that fell on this lady, and he realized that it's sinful activity, but he carried on. So, sin number one. Insignificant sin. He thought it was an insignificant sin, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, jinal ayn an-nadru, to gaze at a non-mahram man or to gaze at a non-mahram lady is the zina and the adultery and fornication of the eyes. And this is the first step to zina. First step to adultery or fornication, the gaze. The gaze, as a result of the gaze, the heart is attracted. And when the heart is attracted, that is what leads to adultery and fornication. And very grave sin, Allahu Akbar. Very grave sin. Very grave sin. Allah says, لا تقربوا الزنا. Allah does not say, do not commit adultery or fornication. Allah says, do not even go near adultery and fornication. That means, anything that will lead you to adultery, fornication, shun it. And evil gaze is also from those things that will take you towards zina. Non-compliance of the injunctions of hijab will also take you towards zina. So that is also impermissible. Our deen teaches us to create a very, very pure and pious environment within our homes, within our societies, within our families. Gaze. Inna nadra sahmum min siham iblis masmum. In a hadith, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the unlawful gaze is from the poisonous arrows of shaitan. It's a poisonous arrow from the poisonous arrows of shaitan. So my sisters, my daughters, my mothers, safeguard your gazes. My brothers, safeguard your gazes. May Allah grant us all the tawfiq to safeguard our gazes. In real life also, whilst reading a newspaper also, whilst reading a magazine also, whilst reading a book also, whilst looking at the billboards, posters also, whilst on the internet, whilst on the social media, safeguard your gaze. Because if we do not safeguard our gazes, my sisters, my brothers, what will happen is that these pictures will set in our hearts, and then we will always remain in a world of imagination. We will not even have to have a real picture in front of us. We may find that whilst performing salat, we are thinking about men and women. Whilst sitting in the first saf for salat, we may be entertaining thoughts of women. The gaze fell. Muazzin. First sin. First sin. And thereafter he continued committing the sin. So it was not one sin only. Every moment is a different sin. Because if you gaze at a non-mahram lady for 5 minutes, then every second you are committing a sin. So it's not only one sin. A person unlawfully gazes at a lady, or a lady unlawfully gazes at a handsome man for 5 minutes, and another lady for half an hour, there is a difference between the two. A big difference. The heart of the second lady will become much more filthier than the first lady. And when the darkness of the filth of sins enters the heart, the nur and the light of iman leaves the heart. And when we carry out a good deed, then the light and the nur of iman enters our hearts. And the darkness of the filth of sins leaves our hearts. So we should abstain from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and carry out good deeds only. And if we make an error, and if the darkness of the filth of sin enters our heart, we should immediately repent, so that the light of repentance will remove the darkness of the filth of that sin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also said, ittaqillaha haythuma kunt. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking not only to the males but females also. Ittaqillaha haythuma kunt. O mu'min, O mu'mina, O muslim, O muslima. O my male servant, O my female servant. This command is for everybody. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O my male ummati, O my female ummati, ittaqillaha haythuma kunt. Create a barrier between yourselves and sinful activities wherever you may be. Create a barrier between yourselves and the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you may be, in the masjid or in the town, in marketplaces, in factories, at home in the darkness of the night, wherever you may be, create a barrier. And if you slip, if you fail, وَاتْبِي السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمُحُهَا. If you fail, then the darkness of the filth of this sin will enter your heart, and in order to remove this darkness, carry out a good deed immediately. وَاتْبِي السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمُحُهَا. Follow this evil deed with a good deed. تَمْحُهَا. This good deed will remove the darkness of the evil deed from your heart. And from amongst the good deeds is tawbah. We should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on top of that we should also carry out good deeds. A sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala who came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, I have made an error. Please show me the path. Show me the path whereby this darkness and the filth of this sin is removed from my heart. So he had repented already. This was repentance. He was remorseful. He had made a firm resolution not to repeat. But he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask for his guidance. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained silent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the following verses. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُولَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. Be punctual with your 5 times salat. So hasana, follow the evil deed with a good deed. Hasana, good deed includes tawbah, and after tawbah, be even more careful with good deeds. Increase your good deeds. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Because good deeds will remove the effects of the evil deeds from your heart. So the Sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is this especially for me? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, No. It is for every ummati to come until the day of Qiyamah. He continued, and as a result of this sin, or as a result of this long sin, that means many sins, he continued looking at her for as long as it was possible. Second sin was committed. He fell in love with her. And he did not repent. He did not go to an alim, to a sheikh, to a scholar, to seek guidance that I have fallen in love with a lady, can you please guide me? She is not permissible for me. He continued to entertain thoughts. And the love became intense. And she was a non-Muslima. One sin is leading to another sin. One good deed leads to another good deed. One sin leads to another sin. And he proposed. And the father said that if you accept our religion, I will marry my daughter to you. One sin leads to the other. And many a times, eventually to kufr. He left Islam. He left Islam, and engagement took place, marriage preparations are taking place, date is fixed, and just a day or two before the marriage, he died in an accident. خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. He became a loser as far as this dunya is concerned, and he became a loser as far as the akhirah is concerned. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, the humans and the jinns, for His ibadat, for His worship. And we must make sure that every second of our lives is governed by this purpose of life. Ibadah, 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 worship, 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 worship. And ibadah is not, and worship is not the do's only. Very big misconception. Do's ibadah. Oh, mashallah. I have spent this weekend in ibadah all the time. Ibadah, I have recited 5 juz from the Quran. I have recited 5,000 times Durood e Pak, Salat ala Nabi. I went out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I spent my whole time with my Shaykh, learning from him. We are only looking at the do's. Assess yourself. Assess yourself and see whether you are able to refrain from the don'ts throughout the weekend or not. So we will find that I was in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the whole weekend. I was in the company of my Shaykh for the whole weekend. I spent the whole weekend in ibadah, but ghiba was frequent. How can you say you spent the whole weekend in ibadah? Ghiba, suspicious thoughts, slandering, hurting people, swearing at people, lying, deceiving. Do's and the don'ts both. Do's and the don'ts. These are the two wheels of our cycle, our bicycle. Two wheels of our motorbike. Do's and the don'ts. Where there is a need to carry out a do, we must carry it out. And where there is a need to carry out a don't, we must carry out the don't. We must abstain. This is what we need to do. This is why Allah has created us. And if we remind ourselves over and over again, as regards to the purpose of our lives, then inshallah we will be able to secure this life. Secure this life. The whole life is for ibadah. The whole life is for ibadah. I am taking my children to the park. We must ask ourselves, is it permissible? Yes, it's permissible. Fine, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Allah is not unhappy. I am going to the shop to buy some nice ice cream for my family, for my guests. Is Allah unhappy? No, Allah is not unhappy. I am taking my family for a holiday for 1 week, 2 weeks. Is Allah unhappy? Ask. Is Allah, in my circumstances, does Sharia permit me? Yes, permit. No problem. This is worship. Worship is to question yourself on every step. Worship is not that when you are on the streets you behave as you like, and when you are in the masjid you behave as Allah likes. That is not worship. Worship is not that when you are in public you behave as Allah likes, and when you are on your own you behave as you like. During daylight you behave as Allah wants, and during the darkness of the night you behave. During daylight you behave as Allah desires you to. And during the darkness of the night, you behave as you like. No, that is not ibadat. This is partly ibadat. Alhamdulillah, that is also a very big ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the opportunity to abstain from things that displease Him during daylight, when in public, when in the masjid. Alhamdulillah. But that is not the purpose of our lives. From the time we became baligh, from the time we reached the age of maturity, until we breathe our last, my sisters, my mothers, my daughters, please, We need to make sure that on the day of Qiyamah, when we are questioned regarding each and every moment, each and every second of our lives, each and every word we have uttered, each and every action we have carried out, each and every step we have taken, each and every penny we have spent, right from the time of maturity until we have breathed our last, we should be able to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Alhamdulillah, summa Alhamdulillah, my whole life was spent in your worship and nothing but your worship. But there is a very big problem. And that problem is that our lives have three phases. Past, present and future. Fine, we have made a firm resolution and we will secure our present. We will secure our future. But what about the past? What about the past? Past is gone. And I did not carry out all the do's. I did not abstain from all the don'ts. In fact, many of us, or majority of us, when we assess our lives, we come to this conclusion that majority of the time, 70%, 80%, 90% of the time, I have not spent in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Past. I am Alhamdulillah 55. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lengthen my life, lengthen the life of our parents, lengthen your life, lengthen the life of our parents, lengthen the life of our husbands, our wives, lengthen the lives of our children, and lengthen the lives of all our dear and near ones, and lengthen the lives of the whole ummah in his obedience, in worship, in ibadah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, Ayyun nasi khayrun? O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the best from the people? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man tala umuruhu wa hasuna amaluhu. One whose age is long, and one who spent that age in ibadah and in worship, in doing good and abstaining from bad. And then he was asked, Ayyun nasi sharrun? Who is the worst of the people? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man tala umuruhu wa sa'a amaluhu. That person whose life is long, but he does not spend that life in the ibadah and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because on the day of Qiyamah, he will have to answer so many questions. So I am 55. I am 55, nearly 56. And from the Islamic, the lunar calendar, I am already nearly 57. So 57. Minus 15. That is 42 years. 42 years have passed. 42 years have passed. And whatever wrong, whatever evil I have committed, may Allah forgive, what can I do about these 42 years? Because the whole life was for ibadah. And it is Allah's mercy that until we become mature, until we reach the age of puberty, Allah does not question us. So we can secure the present and the future. How can we secure the present and the future? Present. Present is not long. Present consists of seconds only. Present, it is 4:43. So 4:43 is present. And when it is 4:44, 4:43 will become past. So present is very small, very little. What is long? Sometimes the past, sometimes the future, sometimes both. 42 years of my life is gone. And if another 40 years remains, so past is long, future is long. Some of you are in your teens, some of you are in 20s, some of you are 30s. So 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, long, long time. And inshallah there is a very long life ahead of you. In order to secure the present and the future, we have to learn how how to secure the present and the future. As far as the future is concerned, there is only one way. Seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever we think about the future, we should always say, Oh Allah, grant me your refuge. Oh Allah, grant me your refuge. A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas, Ilahin Nas. I seek refuge in the Rabb of the people, in the Sovereign of the people, and in the Ilah of the people. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you. When we think about evil deeds, future. Sometimes a person is over worried. Despite doing very well as far as deen is concerned, he worries that I may slip. And one should worry. I may sleep. What will happen to me in the future? So we say, Oh Allah, grant me refuge. Grant me your refuge. Oh Allah, safeguard me. Oh Allah, grant me your refuge. What will happen to my children? What will happen to their deen? Oh Allah, grant them refuge. Grant them your refuge. Grant them safety from you. Safeguard them. Look after them. Look after. What will happen to my wife? What about her deen? Oh Allah, grant her refuge. Safeguard her. And many times so many thoughts play with us as well. And these thoughts are from shaitan. If my husband dies, what will happen to me and my children? If my husband loses his job, what will happen to our risk? If I get married and if the in-laws are not good, what will happen to me? So many thoughts about the future. Uncertainties. Because nobody knows about the future. My sisters, my daughters, my mothers. I am giving you a very, very satisfying remedy. Is there anyone more powerful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is there anyone who is more assuring than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is there anyone more kind, more merciful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whenever you get thoughts regarding the future, whether it is in relation to this worldly life, or it is in relation to deen, in relation to death, in relation to qabr, in relation to the hereafter, always say, Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you. Oh Allah, grant me your refuge. Oh Allah, grant me your refuge. Oh Allah, grant me your refuge. Oh Allah, safeguard me. Oh Allah, grant me safety. And then have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hakim Fakhruddin Sahib rahimahullahu ta'ala, a very pious personality. When worried about iman, this is something that every mu'min should be worried about. When worried about iman, that what will happen to me during the time of fitan, test and trials, I may lose my iman. I may slip and I may not be able to differentiate between what is right, what is wrong. I may take the wrong path. What will happen to me? What will happen to me at the time of death when shaitan will try to mislead me? So when worried about iman, he would say, Oh Allah, I am very weak. I am very weak. And I am making you a trustee of my iman. I am handing over my iman to you as a trust. You look after it until I need it at the time of death. At the time of death, give it to me and safeguard it until I breathe my last. This person is suffering from cancer. This is happening to him. What if my husband suffers from cancer? This person has died at this young age. What if my husband dies at a young age? Or my husband has passed away. What shall I do with my young children? How will I? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. Oh Allah, I seek your refuge. Oh Allah, I seek your refuge. Oh Allah, I seek your refuge. As a result of seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear sister, we will be able to secure our future, inshallah. We will be able to secure our future. How long the future may be, 70 years, 80 years, 20 years, and the future is very long. Even after death there is future, grave, the day of Qiyamah, Pul Sirat, Jannat, Jahannam. So we seek refuge. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek refuge. Allahumma inni a'udhu bi ridhaka min sakhatik. O Allah, I seek refuge in your pleasure from your displeasure. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-junoon. O Allah, I seek your refuge from mental illness. Wal-juzham. O Allah, I seek your refuge from leprosy. Wal-juzhami wal-baras. Two types of leprosy. Wasayyil askam. O Allah, I seek your refuge from every dangerous illness, every bad illness. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ma'asam. O Allah, I seek your refuge from sins, from disobeying you. Wal-maghram. O Allah, I seek your refuge from debts. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, how can I save myself from your wrath, from you? So he would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minka. Oh Allah, I seek your refuge from you. Oh Allah, I seek your refuge from you. He would say, wa'udhu biyaffika min iqabik. Oh Allah, I seek the refuge of your forgiveness from your punishment. Seek refuge. My sisters, never lose hope in anything. Never worry about anything. When Allah is with you, why should you worry? When Allah Rahman is with you, why should you worry? When Allah Rahim is with you, why should you worry? When Allah Wadud is with you, why should you worry? When Allah Ghaffar is with you, why should you worry? Why should you worry when Allah is with us? Allah the merciful, Allah the loving, Allah the kind, Allah the beneficent, Allah the benevolent, Allah the provider, Allah the almighty. Never worry. Never worry. And in every circumstance, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنُوحًا إِذْ نَادَى مِنْ قَبْلُ. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam used to turn to Allah only. Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah says that Nuh alayhi salam, he called us. وَنُوحًا إِذْ نَادَى. Nuh alayhi salam, when he was in difficulty, he called me. And when he called me, when he supplicated to me, what did I do? فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. I accepted his prayer. When he called me, I said, لَبَّيْكِ يَا نُوحِ. Oh my Nuh, I am present. Ask, what do you want? وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Ayyub also called me. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. And we said, لَبَّيْكِ. I said, Labbaik, oh Ayyub, what do you want? وَذَنُّون إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَادِبًا وَذَنَّا أَلَّنْ نَقْدِرِ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Yunus, whilst in the depth of the ocean, depth of the ocean, in the fish had swallowed him, a large fish had swallowed him, in the stomach of the fish, in the depth of the ocean, in the darkness of the night, in three darknesses, where nobody could hear him. But he knew that my Allah is with me and my Allah is listening to me. So he said, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimeen. Allah says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ. We accepted his prayer. And we removed him from his difficulty. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And likewise, when the believers turn to me, I remove their difficulty also. وَزَكَرِيَّ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. When Zakariya alayhi salam, at the age of 120, turned to me and he said, Oh Allah, give me a child. We accepted his prayer. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ يَحْيَى. And at the age of 120, we gave him a child, يَحْيَى. Never give up, my sister. Never give up. Husband is oppressing you. In-laws are no good. Parents are not paying attention to you. Relatives are not paying attention to you. Your husband is toiling hard, but there is no barakah in rizq. Exercise sabr with shukr. Exercise sabr for what you do not have, and shukr for whatever little Allah has given you. And turn to Allah and say, Oh Allah, remove my difficulty. Oh Allah, remove my difficulty. Oh Allah, remove my difficulty. Sooner or later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you the light at the end of the tunnel, inshallah. My sisters, go from here with this yaqeen, with this belief that I am not alone, I am not weak, because the Almighty Allah is with me. Almighty Allah is with me. إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. O my Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when my servants, male or female, ask you regarding me, that where is Allah? Tell them that I am very near. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. When the supplicator supplicates to me, I answer, I accept prayers. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are more closer to each person than even his or her jugular vein. Allah is with us all the time. Remember Him. And do not become exasperated or frustrated. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah accepted his prayer, but after 40 years. So Allah is Hakim. He is the ruler. He does whatever He desires. And He is also Hakim. He is a wise ruler. So He will accept our prayer at the right time. Never lose hope. But always make Allah and the Akhirat your goal, my sisters. So for future, dua and isti'adha. Seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change your condition, to look after you, to look after your affairs. And alhamdulillah, we have published booklets of prayers from the Islamic Dawah Academy. Luminous prayers with the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are able to read it every day, alhamdulillah, if not, at least read it once a week. It will soon be published with the translation, inshallah. Short Hizbul Azam. Read one part every day. It will take you 3 minutes. 3 minutes to 4 minutes. Al-Mu'awwazat, Isti'aza, seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will take you 3 minutes daily. Allocate time. I will read Mu'awwazat after Fajr. I will read Hizbul Azam after Asr. And if daily, alhamdulillah, after Maghrib, after Isha, luminous prayers, if not daily, then once a week, every Friday or every Saturday or every Sunday or every Monday. Supplicate to Allah, seek His refuge. That is how we will secure the future. And as far as the present is concerned, we secure our present with taqwa. We secure our present with taqwa. On every step we ask, is this permissible, not permissible? Will this step make Allah happy or unhappy? Will this peace make Allah happy or unhappy? Will this action make Allah happy or unhappy? On every step ask. Because the present is becoming past very quickly, spontaneously. Every step, at every step. This is what Allah desires from me, I will do. This is what Allah does not desire from me, I will abstain. Carry out the do's and abstain from the don'ts. Taqwa. And this taqwa can fall into two categories, sabr and shukr. If we experience anything good, we were supposed to perform salat, we are grateful to Allah. We were hungry, we were given food, we are grateful to Allah, shukr. And if we experience anything which we dislike, we want to go for salat, it's snowing, it's very cold. So we exercise sabr. Sabr is to remain firm and steadfast in the face of difficulties. Difficulties, calamities, difficulties when carrying out the do's, difficulties when abstaining from the don'ts. It's all sabr. Sabr, shukr and sabr. Shukr and sabr, two wheels of the bicycle of taqwa. Shukr and sabr. And how do we bring sabr and shukr in our hearts? If sabr and shukr, how can we bring it in our lives? If sabr and shukr comes in our lives, taqwa will come in our lives. And if taqwa comes in our lives, then ibadah is in our lives. How do we bring sabr and shukr in our lives? How do we bring taqwa in our lives? How do we bring the whole deen in our lives? Through the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we excel in zikr, and if we make our hearts and minds dhakir, we continually at all times remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will encourage us to remain firm in the face of adversities, remain firm when carrying out the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remain firm when abstaining from the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us realize if we experience any favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we will become grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for this reason, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us to be shakir and sabir, He initiates with the command of dhikr. He says, فَذْكُرُونِ يَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me, become zakir. And when you become zakir, then I will remember you with rahmat, with mercies. So you remember me, become zakir, continually remember me all 24 hours. When you remember me all 24 hours, then I will remember, I will enshroud you with my mercy all 24 hours. And when I enshroud you with mercy all 24 hours, you will have shukra in your life, you will have sabra in your life. So, فَذْكُرُونِ يَذْكُرْكُمْ وَشْكُرُونِ وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. So, future, dua, supplications, and seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Present, taqwa, ibadah, sabr, shukr. And in order to be sabir shakir, in order to become muttaki, in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, carry out the do's and abstain from the don'ts, we need to make our hearts zakir. And how do we make our hearts zakir? By continually remembering Allah whenever possible. Daily, 100 times, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Daily 100 times, third kalima, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Daily 100 times, istighfar, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Daily 300 times, salat ala nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after completing this, daily, whenever we are working, whenever we are making chapatis, whenever we are cooking, whenever we are cleaning the house, whenever we are going shopping, we try to remember Allah with the tongue. We remember Allah with the tongue. And recite, learn and recite as many masnoon supplications as possible before eating. Bismillahi wa barakatillah. If we forget Bismillah, Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhirahu. After eating, Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amana wa satana wa ja'alana muslimin. Before entering the lavatory, Bismillahi, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. If we sneeze, Alhamdulillah. If we hear somebody sneeze saying Alhamdulillah, yarhamukallah. All the time. Learn as many masnoon supplications as possible. This is also zikr. And the most virtuous zikr is recitation of the glorious Quran. Daily recite one juz, three quarter juz, half a juz, quarter juz, one ruku. Read it daily. Read it daily. Surah Yasin Sharif in the morning daily. Surah Mulk, Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, and Surah Al Waqia every night. Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala was passing away. So Hazrat Usman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu came to visit him. He was in his last moments. So Usman radiyallahu ta'ala said, "You are leaving behind daughters. So shall I make arrangements for some cash, so that you can give it to your daughters and they can look after themselves?" So Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala said, "I am not worried about my daughters." Usman radiyallahu ta'ala said, "Why?" So he said, that I have heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Man qara'a surat al-waqiyah de kulla laylatin lam tusibhul faqatu. One who recites surat al-waqiyah every night before going to sleep, poverty will not strike that person. And I have taught my daughters to do this. They are reciting surat al-waqiyah daily. So Allah will look after them. Sometimes the students worry about risk. What will I do after I graduate? The deen students. Students of deen. Because there are not many opportunities for them outside. They worry about the risk. The salary is very low in the masajid, in the madaris. They worry. Sometimes the ladies worry. Ladies worry. What will happen to me? If I don't find the house where the husband is has a healthy earning, what will happen to me if my husband passes away? Keep surah al-waqiyah and hand everything over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zikr. So alhamdulillah, future is secured, present is secured. How do we secure the past? We secure the past by sincerely repenting and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. Allahu Akbar. Look at our deen. Look at our deen. We can even secure the past. We secure our past by repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking for His forgiveness. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. I seek Allah's forgiveness and I repent. I turn to Allah for forgiveness. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are so many benefits of istighfar and tawbah. This is only one benefit from the many benefits. One benefit is that our sins are forgiven. But there are so many other benefits also. It is for this reason Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite being immune from every disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daily and say, Oh Allah, forgive me, and Oh Allah, I am repenting. I am repenting, O Allah, daily 70 times, 100 times, more than 100 times. Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa jama'in say that we would count in one gathering Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam supplicating to Allah and saying, Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. O Allah, forgive me. O Allah, give me your attention and accept my tawbah. You are the one who gives attention and you are the one who shows mercy. 70 times in one gathering, Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. So many benefits. If we make istighfar and tawbah, so many benefits for the future also. Istaghfiru rabbakum wa tubu ilayhi yumatti'kum mata'an hasana. Istaghfiru rabbakum. Ask your Rabb for forgiveness. Wa tubu ilayhi and make tawbah towards Him. What will Allah grant you? Yumatti'kum mata'an hasana. One tafsir, one interpretation of yumatti'kum mata'an hasana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins. Second tafsir, yumatteekum mataan hasana, Allah will make your life long. Third tafsir, yumatteekum mataan hasana, Allah will grant you the tawfiq to go towards haq. He will give you the ability to recognize haq and go towards haq. And Allah will increase in your rizq. Yumatteekum mataan hasana. So, past is secured, future is secured. Through istighfar, through tawbah. As a result of tawbah and istighfar, our past will become clean. Allah will erase all the sins. At-taibu min adh-dhanbi kamalla dhanba lahu. The one who repents from sins is like the one who has never sinned. This is the first stage. There are various stages. If depending on the sincerity you have when you are doing istighfar and when you are repenting. The lowest stage is that Allah cleans the slate. So the past 57 years or past 40 years or past 10 years, you will not be rewarded for anything. You wasted that time. But Allah will not ask you regarding those moments as well. Clean. Alhamdulillah. No problem. No problem. After becoming mature, after reaching the age of puberty, I have 60 years. From 6 years I have wasted 30. But I have utilized 30 years of my age. So I will go in Jannah with all the amal that I have carried out in these 30 years. And last 30 years at least Allah will not question me. That is one benefit. Second benefit, if a person is very, very sincere and he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will forgive him and Allah will turn all his sins into good deeds. Allahu Akbar. So he will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah as somebody who worshipped Allah for 60 years. Imam Tabarani rahimahullah ta'ala narrates an incident that a person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, what do you say regarding a person who has committed every evil? So much so that he has looted the hujjaj, the pilgrims, when going for Hajj, and he has looted the hujjaj when returning from pilgrim, from Hajj. What do you say regarding that person?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood that this person is asking about himself. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Have you accepted Iman?" So he said, "Yes, ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh." Allahu Akbar Kabira, Allahu Akbar Kabira. He said, "Yes, I have accepted Iman." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "From now, carry out good deeds and abstain from evil deeds. Allah has not only forgiven your past sins, He has turned them into good deeds." So he said, "Despite my so many sins," Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Yes, despite your so many sins." So he said, "Allahu Akbar." He said, "Allahu Akbar." And the narrator of the hadith says that after saying Allahu Akbar, he started going away and we could hear him saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, until he was out of our sight. He was so pleased. He was so pleased and he found so much solace and comfort in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he said, "Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Only He can do this." Abu Dharr Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that the last person to come out of Jahannam and the last person to go in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him stand in front of him and he will tell the malaika that enumerate some of his minor sins. You did this on this day, on this place. You did? Yes, I did. You did this on this? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And he was worried. He was worried that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed the malaika to enumerate only the minor sins. What about my major sins? Allah may throw me back into Jahannam. Because I am the worst of the mu'minin, worst of the people. So after enumerating the minor sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "I have forgiven you and I have turned your minor sins into good deeds." Good deeds. Now he sees the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he will say, "Oh Allah, I also have many major sins." Because he knew that if Allah turns minor sins into good deeds, they will be minor good deeds. And if Allah turns major sins into good deeds, they will be major good deeds. So he will say, "Oh Allah, there are some sins that they have not enumerated yet. What about the major ones?" And whilst narrating this hadith, Abu Dharr Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was smiling so much that we could observe his teeth. So number one, if we are sincere in our tawbah, Allah will erase the sins. But no good, no bad. Those 30 years wasted. And if Allah subhanahu, if the sincerity is more in our tawbah and istighfar, and we frequently make tawbah and istighfar, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not only forgive those sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn them into good deeds. And muttaqeen and the muhakkikeen and very pious servants have said, that sometimes, as a result of tawbah, if person reaches more heights than he would have if he had carried out that good. For example, if person came in Fajr Salah and he carried out his Fajr Salah and Allah rewarded him with 100 good deeds. That is the principle. Sometimes a person neglects his Salah. And because he is very pious, he is overcome with enormous remorse. And he cries for 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, "Oh Allah forgive me, Oh Allah forgive me, Oh Allah forgive me, Oh Allah forgive me." The muhakkikin and the arbab-e ma'rifat, the people with insight, with the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said that sometimes a person commits a sin, and then when he makes a tawbah, this is the highest grade, he acquires more reward than he would have if he carried out that good deed. So my friends, my sisters, my mothers, my daughters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this. 21st annual gathering of the ladies. Time flies. 21 years, Allahu Akbar. 21 years have gone. May Allah accept this, may Allah accept our coming, may Allah grant us all the tawfiq to make our whole life good by making the future better through supplication and seeking Allah's refuge, by making the present better by watching our actions, by making sure that we carry out the do's, abstain from the don'ts, by making sure that we engage in ibadah, by making sure that we make shukr and we make sabr, and by making sure that we become zakir, so we are able to do all this. And let us try to make our past better through tawbah and istighfar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.